Blog Talk Radio.
Praise upon my lips. Thank you, Jesus. Good morning.
Hallelujah. How are you doing, Blog Talk listeners? It is I again, Evangelist Vaughn Dumas from the Tri-Anointed Ministries. Hallelujah. God is touching. God is healing. God is the Father. Three heads in one. Tri. And he's anointing us. He's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three heads in one. Hallelujah. God is God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Whew. Well, let's just go right into, I welcome everyone for the second day. The second day, day two of the 30-day New Believer Studies. Day two, coming home to your Father. Hallelujah. Coming home to your Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, let's just start with prayer and get with our scripture. And go straight to our word, okay? Running a little late, so let's go ahead and get it started. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the opportunity just to deliver your word. Use me as your vessel. Move me out of the way, dear Father. Take control of your ministry. Take control of your Blog Talk radio show. Take control of the minds that are listening, the hearts that are listening. Place within them what they need to succeed today, dear Father, to return back home to you. May this word be a penetrating word, not to tickle ears. And we thank you, dear Father, for your presence. Thank you for your love, your deliverance, your peace, your healing. Oh, we know that you didn't have to do it. We don't ever want to take you for granted. And we just want to say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, we just accept all that it is that you're delivering to us right now. Right now. But may it carry us forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Reading today from Psalms 23. Psalms 23 in the New Testament. You kind of just split your sword right down the middle there. You should meet Psalms, and then we'll go over to the 23rd chapter. Very familiar passage, very meaningful passage that we need to remind ourselves in good times and bad times. Hallelujah. Even though we feel like sometimes that God is not with us or we're walking along, but if we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, then he is our shepherd. We spoke about that on day one yesterday. He being our shepherd, we being his sheep. And a shepherd would lay down his life for his sheep. And he has been given the authority from God himself to lay down his life and to pick it up again. So that is the good news for us today. Hallelujah. Again, Psalms 2:3, starting at verse 1, says, "The Lord is my shepherd." We want to take this word personal. So remember, when we see the word my, we want to substitute and put in your name, okay? Your loved one's name, whoever it is that you're praying for right now, that's got you up at night, that is the one that we want to put in their name, okay? "The Lord is Vaughn's shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside quiet waters." Don't have to be rumbling and noise at all the time and disturbance and fighting. We're in the midst of that war, in the midst of that battle. God will still lead you and give you quiet waters. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. "He guideth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," again, even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, you got to continue to walk through your valleys. I know it looks dark in there. And I know that it feels like that it's death. But remember, as long as you continue to walk through it, step by step, some can run through some things and some take another pace. You got to barely move, but you just keep moving as you walk through. And just remember, this is a shadow. This is not the real thing. This is not even death. This is the shadow of death. So as you walk through the shadow of death, he said, "I will fear no evil, for you are with me." So Evangelist Vaughn cannot fear any evil. He said he don't even want us to be discouraged. Don't be afraid, and don't be discouraged. Hallelujah. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. My Abba Father, my Creator is with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Still preparing for your enemies all around you, but God is still preparing things for you, preparing a banquet for you, preparing a table in the presence of your enemies. So you don't have to wait until your battle is over. You can go on and shout now. You have a table being prepared for you right there in the presence of your enemies. You anoint my head with oil until my cup overflows. So now that I'm anointed with the oil of Jesus Christ, anyone that's under my leadership, that's under my wing, is touched. I'm overflowing. So it gets to drip down and soak up someone else with the anointing. My anointing he has granted to me. Now it's overflowing to those underneath me. Hallelujah. My cup overflows. Don't just let your overflow just run, not touching anyone. It gets you all together, but you don't have no one else that you're reaching out to. As he anoints you, you're not anointing anyone else. Come on now. Not your power, but the power that he has given to you by the authority given to you by him. To him by his Father. Hallelujah. Surely, 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 goodness and love, which is God's mercy, will follow me. You're not by yourself. Look behind you. Not only is that shadow there, you walk through that, but honey, surely goodness and mercy, the love of God is following you all the days of your life. Why? Because I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Aren't you looking forward to dwelling? Don't you want to just dwell in his spirit right now? Don't you want to just dwell? Hallelujah. In the midst of everything, just find peace and just dwell. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, thank you, thank you. Because that's who he is. God is good. Coming home to your Father. Coming home to your Father. Have you ever wondered what it means to be a child of God? Have you ever wondered if you've run too far to come home? Let's take a look at these here today. We're going to start in Romans 8:15. Now, we were in Psalms in the Old Testament. So we're going to go right. We're going to travel for a minute. Let's go all the way back, going right, continue right till we get to the New Testament, and then we're going to continue to go back again until we get to Romans. Now, as you pass by in the New Testament, excuse me, once you get to the book of Acts, you know that you can start slowing down. Romans is the next subdivision. So we're going to go from Acts over to Romans, okay? Romans, after we get to Romans, if you actually go to 1 Corinthians, you've already passed where you need to go. Just reverse back, slowly park at Romans. All right, I'm glad that we arrived here safely. We're at Romans 8. Romans 8:15-16 is what we're reading. Ready? Read. All right. It says, "For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with your spirit that we are God's children." So what does it mean to be a child of God? It means that your spirit connects with the spirit of God himself. And the spirit himself testifies that we are God's children, that you don't have to live in a state of fear. Because once we become a child of God, it means that we don't have to walk around in fear anymore. Because the Spirit, his Spirit, now dwells within us. And that Spirit is not a spirit for a slave against fear, but a sound mind. You have a sound mind now. Hallelujah. Because you are a child of God. Again, remember, he said he don't even want, don't be afraid, and don't even be discouraged. Because now he's with you. He said, this battle is not even yours. Let me use your temple. Let me use you, and I'll fight your battle. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So it also tells us again that when you become a child of God, it means that now that we as children, that his spirit and our spirit comes together and testify. He tells the whole world. He lets everyone know that you now are a child of God. So now that we are children of God, that means that we are heirs of God. Not co-heirs, but we're heirs with God. And then we're co-heirs with Jesus Christ. Now, if in need, we share in his suffering. Indeed, we share in his suffering in order that we may also share in his glory. So we're heirs with God and co-heirs with Christ. So, of course, we share in Christ's suffering because we share in his glory. Hallelujah. Just a little bit more. Verse 18 tells us about the future glory. It says, I consider that our present sufferings, as many as we may feel that they are, but they're not worth comparing the glory that will be revealed in us. Hallelujah. It's not worth comparing the glory that will be revealed in us. So the next time that we're complaining about our suffering, and oh, we do suffer here. We make choices here. We as a country make choices that affects us all. Affects us all. That's why when people say, I'm not voting because it doesn't make a difference. It makes a difference, sisters and brothers. And you will be affected whether you participate in the vote or not. It's just that you don't have a say. You will be doing whatever the vote turnout is. It will affect you. So you have no right to sit and complain about it afterwards if you haven't participated in it. Even if it didn't turn out your way, at least you participated. But remember, when we're going through our suffering, we're co-heirs with Christ. So we share in the suffering because we share in the glory. Hallelujah. And it says that the suffering that we go through, it's not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to go back to the left. We're going to go to Luke 15 and 11. Luke 15 and 11. Hallelujah. All right. Matthew, Mark, Luke, third book of the New Testament, 15, and start at verse 11. It reads, Jesus continues, we're still talking about this was with the parable of the lost son. Said, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property before them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there he squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything there was a severe famine in that whole country. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country. And he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of what country, of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. This is royalty. Now he's feeding pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. So hungry, he even wants to eat what the pigs are eating. Hallelujah. Now, when he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have to have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. But at home, my father, even his hired men, bellies are full, and they even got food to spare. But look at me. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Just make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and he kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father," somebody say, but the father said to his servant, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet," signifies royalty. "Said, bring the fattest calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. Real quickly there, how many of your loved ones, God is into something else, doing a totally different thing right now? Loved one, don't feel that you're too far from God to come back home. Come back home. Remember, when he returned back, remember the response right here in this parable that the father has to his child. Why? Because you said, "Oh, my parents would never accept me." You never know, because when you come, when you find Jesus Christ, and you finally come to your senses, you finally come to your senses, you are a new creature in Christ. You're not that old creature that was stealing and trying to kill and rob, disrespecting your parents. Hallelujah. So to them, it's just like you were dead and have came back alive. A second chance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the father is just ecstatic to have his son back. So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him, "What was going on?" "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fattest cow because your brother has returned home safe and sound." The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him, but he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never, never gave me even a young goose so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, come home, you kill the fattest calf for him." The father replied, my son, "You're always with me, and everything I have is yours." Not just the fattest calf, but everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and alive again. He was lost, and now he's been found. That we had to celebrate. And don't you understand that why you're looking at someone else's belongings, what they have? Uh-huh. It looks like it's very good. It looks like that is just a kid in the caboodle. That's just everything. Because that's the way it looked to this brother. It looked like that the father was just turning away from him. It looked like that he had just been serving his father all this time in vain. It looked like. Sometimes you look at things and you think one thing. How are they prospering? How is this sinner man doing all of this and still prospering? How is he able to still advance in all these ways? How? But if we look now and listen to what the father explanation was, the father's explanation was, I gave the party. I'm giving the fattest calf. But everything I have here, your eyes can't even reach around to see everything we have here. Everything I have here is yours. What I've just given to your brother, you can see. You see the beginning of it and the ending of it. Now compare that to all of this that's going to be yours. The same thing that we go back and we were just speaking about. Our suffering. We suffer with Christ. But our suffering, we can see the suffering. We can name the suffering. Oh, but we can't name all the glory. We can't even see all the glory that is within us, that God will show us within us, that he has will place inside of us. All of the riches, the temporary rewards that you see people getting here, don't worry about it. You can see them driving a fancy car. You can see them in their nice home. Nothing wrong with any of those things. We're talking about the sinner man who does everything he can against the word, but seems to still prosper in material things here. Hallelujah. Maybe the big CEO of some large company and not giving God any praise. And you look at him and you think that, oh, look at, he's got the nice house, the nice car, the nice job, travel when he wants to. But you don't know what's going on the inside of that man's home. You don't know the true story. You don't know the true story. You know not. And remember, these are temporal rewards. Your reward is going to be for eternal. Thank you, Jesus. Your reward is an eternal reward. Forever and ever, there's no ending. No ending. No ending. So don't get caught up because so you hear the music playing and someone's celebrating this individual because someone's putting the royal sandals and rings and the robe. Killing the fattest calf. Look around. You may not see it, but believe God's word. That when you can't understand it, just believe and trust in my word. I have stuff stored for you that your mind can't even conceive. Eyes have never seen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what it means to be a child of God. That's what it means when they say, have you ran too far from home? You've never went too far that you can't come back. And when you come back, you're welcome into the kingdom. And you get all of this, not just the robe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now let's go back to the right again. We're going to go over to 2 Corinthians 6 through 18. So we're going to go back and pass Romans where we was at. Next door to Romans lives 1 Corinthians. And then we'll knock on the next door to that, which is 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 6 and 18. For the spare of time, we're going to go ahead and move on here. 6 and 18. 18 says, I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, said the Lord Almighty. Now let's start with 6. Ready? Read. The 6 is kind of in the middle, so we're just going to, we'll move up and we'll quickly, I'm going to start at verse 3 and go through 18. I do apologize. For the sake of time, we're just going to do the verse 18 and leave it there, okay? Again, that's the one that we wanted to look at, 2 Corinthians 6 and 18. It says, I will be a father to you. You will be my sons and daughters, said the Lord Almighty. So we just don't have an earthly mother and father. What a blessing to be able to stand. How does that feel? That should feel good just to know that I am the son, I am the daughter of God Almighty, God himself. Tells me, took out the time to inspire, to make sure it was told that I can read, that I will be the father to you, he says. The evangelist Vaughn, you are my daughter. Sir, you are his son, says the Lord Almighty, 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 Almighty. What do you need? He's Almighty. Your father has it. He's Almighty. He is calling your name, saying, you are mine. You cannot run too far from me. You are mine. I'm Almighty. Come to me. Run to me. What are your needs? Run to me. That's what it means to be a child of God. You can run to me. Thus said the Lord Almighty. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. See, when you hold up your arms to your Heavenly Father, he reaches down to scoop you up, just like a baby. Hold up the arms. You reach down and scoop them up. That's what he's doing for us. Hold up your arms. Just surrender. And the passages that we just read, they remind us that accepting God's gift of salvation, it's not a formal business deal. This is personal. It's the picture of a father welcoming home his rebellious child, just like the story we just read of the prodigal son. Again, in Luke 15, we did 11 through 32, the prodigal son. The father welcoming home his rebellious child. And just like the ungrateful son, we too have said, give me mine. Let me run off. I can do this myself. This is my life. Let me live my life. We run off. At some point, we run from God. Then we start to realize, at some point in our life, we realize. We come to our senses. We realize that we try to live on our own. Apart from God. We try to pick our own spouses apart from God. We may have got on a bus and took off and said, this is it, my chance now. This is it, let me get this ticket, this is my chance. I'm going to the city, I'm just getting away from the city, going to the country. But somehow the plan doesn't work out as we expected. But God, your Father, is still waiting up for you when you come home. They said the light will keep the light on. One of the hotels, motels. God, your Father, still waiting on you. Standing patiently as you put all of the different, it could have been prostitutes, drugs, just putting the world in front of him. And after you go through each and every one of those things, spend all you got, still doesn't give you your satisfaction you thought. Then you come to the end of the line, and who do you see still there? God, ready to scoop you up if you would just surrender. You finally realize that this is not my life, that you've been living a lie. But the whole time you thought, if I could just get from under mom and dad's house, I could live my life. To figure out this is not your life. You didn't give life. And really, you don't have any authority to take life. You finally realize, I can't do it without you, God. I can't do it without you, God. That's why we shouldn't criticize. We never know what the person beside us sitting on the church pew is screaming about, crying about, running about. We don't know how far they have ran from God. We don't know how good they feel on the inside to run back and knowing that he's still there. That they made it back in time. They made it back in time. Because you can look at your sisters and brothers at any cemetery, and many didn't make it back. Did not make it back in time. Something cut their life short before they was able to accept his grace, accept his love, accept his salvation. And they remain lost for eternity. Come on, don't let that be you. Hallelujah. He said, seek me while you may still find me. Don't let him come back and catch you with your work undone. Because then you have no way of ending your suffering. Then you don't have a way of getting back to the Father's salvation, the Father's comfort. Hallelujah. Back to the parable. With joy in his eyes, God adopted you. As soon as you held up your arms to him, as soon as you surrendered, as soon as you said, this is not my life, as soon as you said, the choices I'm making for this life is destroying my life, as soon as you do that, our Abba Father, it doesn't matter how far you've run. It doesn't matter how long you've been gone. He doesn't change his love for you. As soon as you say that, he scoops you up and says, you are my child. Hallelujah. When the right time came, God sent his son, who was born of a woman, and he lived under the law. God did this so that he could buy freedom for those who were under the law so that we could become his children. Hallelujah. Just remind ourselves of the goodness of God. Galatians 4 and then 4 through 5 just remind us that he sent his son to buy freedom for us. We thank him for that. Thank you, Jesus. So for your personal applications today, to ask yourself, as you're telling yourself today that I'm coming home to the Father, I'm coming home to the Father, I now know what it means to be a child of God. I now know that I can't run too far away from God. I know I can't run too far away from home. Oh, I know I can't be gone long enough. There is no too long in it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, when you come to Christ, God not only forgives us, he also puts us in his arms and holds us. It would be enough if God just cleansed our name, cleansed our sins, but he does more. He gives you his name now. It would be enough if God just set you free. But he does more. He takes you home. He takes you home to the great God of God. And he calls you his own. Hallelujah. And now he gives you authority. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you can use his name. You're royalty now. More than you ever had even started to be. You're royalty now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Come on home, sisters and brothers. You have somewhere to go. Come on home. You don't have to turn and walk away. Come on home. You haven't been gone too long. Come on home. It means that you can now be safe. You can rest in comfort. You're now a child of God. During Jesus' time on earth, Jesus was always inviting people to become his followers. He said to those by the Sea of Galilee, he said, come, follow me. He invited his listeners to come to him, to come by faith, to come for healing, to come for hope, to come for happiness. He said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I am the one. I will give you rest. I will give you rest, Matthew 11:28. He said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Matthew 16:24. If you want to follow the Christ, he said, deny your flesh. Deny yourself. Whatever it's craving for, deny your flesh. And then take up that cross. It's wearing you down. You may be needing that fix, your cross. Just needing some love, your cross. Take up your cross, whatever it might be, and follow me. He said, I will give you rest. Perhaps today you feel like Jesus Christ himself is speaking to you. Imagine if he was in the room with you right now. He's giving this invitation to you. What would you do? What would you do? Sisters and brothers, I don't care where you're at right now. Know this. Put this in your heart and believe this. He really is in the room with you. He really is inviting you to become his child, his follower, his disciple. Hallelujah. Come now. Come willingly. Come courageously. Don't worry about what anybody else thinks. This is your time with Christ. Won't you come? He's calling you as an individual. He's calling you as a couple. He's calling you as a family. He died for you and rose again. Laid down his life and picked it up again for you. He went to the cross with your sin on his mind, your name on his mind. He washes away all of your sins. He's waiting for you to come. And he can give you new life if you come. Come to Christ now while there's still time. While you still can. Only a step to Jesus. Oh, why not come and say, gladly to thee, my Savior, I give myself away. He gave his life for you. Won't you give yourself away to him? And if you have, you have become a new creature in Christ. If you just accepted Christ, you are now adopted into the family. You now have all that you need. You're under the God Almighty. Hallelujah. You now have a right to eternal life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You now have authority to speak to your enemy in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus. Get into a Bible teaching church. Get under a leader. Pray for your leadership. Ask God to send you where you need to be. If you need a church recommendation in your city or state, give me a call at 210-264-5287 or 210-277-0495. Send me an email at walkwithmegod@aol.com or leave me a message here on the Blog Talk, blogtalkradio.com/evangelistvondumas. Hallelujah. Anytime that you're in need of a prayer, we love praying with you. We remind you that Women in Power, with our founder, Dr. Inetta Cooper, has an international line. Willing, someone is always there to pray for you. The number is 218-339-4300. Access code is 360-777-POUND. 360-777-POUND. You can give your name, or you can just listen and be anointed by the other testimonies and prayers. You can go on mute, or you can give your prayer request or your praise report. The In Power Ministries is there for you. Women in Power, Men in Power, Teen in Power. I'm proud to be a member of the Region 1 of the Women in Power. I'm the chaplain for the state of Texas and the local president for the San Antonio chapter. God bless you. God keep you. Don't take God's love, God's mercy, just because you continue to wake up another day. Don't take it for granted. Don't take it for granted that you've been doing the same thing for years. And you said, I still wake up every day. I still get up and go to my job. I still get up and go back to the corner and do what I do. I'm still doing the same thing. Don't take it for granted. Because his love and mercy has given you another opportunity. Because it's something he instilled in you that he wants you to share with the world. You were not just born. You had a reason. Come home to your Father while you still can. Come home to your Father while you still can. Join us on tomorrow as we go over God's love. God's love is day 3 of the 30-day New Believer Studies. God's love. Have you ever wondered just how much God really loves you? Have you ever wondered if you can fall out of love with God? Can you fall out of God's love? Have you ever wondered why you deserve to be loved so much? We're going to be discussing that in God's love on day 3. Again, of the 30-day New Believer Study. You don't have to be a new believer. Every time you read the word, you should get something different out of it. So we're all new believers in that sense. We praise God. We thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you for letting it penetrate and move the enemies out of our way. Whatever it is, dear Father, that we're carrying or that is weighing us down, all right now, we deny ourselves and we pick up our cross and we're following you, Jesus. Oh, thank you for being with the new ones that have just given themselves to you. Just given themselves. You said that you would make a force no man to come into you. But they have courageously, have freely given themselves to you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All of the heavens are shouting and rejoicing. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask that you lead them and guide them in the right directions for their headship, for their leadership, for someone to cover them. We pray, dear Father, that when they get in the point that they need direction, they need prayer, that they call us, dear Father, They call upon, if not my ministry, whatever ministry you lead them to, that they not let the enemy's voice tell them, oh, don't bother them. Oh, just don't even pay. Just go ahead and do what you know to do. But they surrender all and said, no, I'm a new creature in Christ. I now have to reach out to new people. I want to live a straight life. I want to be under God's wing. We thank you, Jesus, who you are. Thank you for accepting us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for scooping us up. Thank you that we cannot run too far away from you, that we can still come home. We thank you, Jesus, for learning what it means to be a child of God, for learning when do we become a child of God. Thank you for the knowledge. Thank you for teaching us what it does mean to you that you are our Father. And thank you, Jesus, for learning how to approach you as our Father, we as your child. Just throw up our hands and surrender, and the approach starts there, and we thank you. Until we meet again, we ask you to bless all of the Blog Talk listeners. Bless their homes. Go inside of each individual need. We surrender all to you, Jesus. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we say amen. To the tri-anointed listeners on the Blog Talk Radio, we say God bless you and keep you until we meet again. Remember, don't take it for granted. Don't take it for granted. Just because you woke up this morning, he didn't have to do it. It's an honor and a blessing. Oh, I sign off today. Said God love you. God bless you. Today.
Lord, you didn't have to wait soon this morning, but you did, Lord. I know you didn't have to wake me soon this morning, but you did, Lord. I know you didn't have to wake me early this morning, but you did, Lord. I'm glad about it. You didn't have to wake me soon this morning, but you did. Lord, you was right on time. I had my health and strength and soul. Y'all love me sad again. You didn't have to wait soon this morning, but you know I ain't gotta ask you. You didn't have to wake me soon this morning, but you know I want. Lord, you were right on time. Had my health and strength and soul. Just wanna tell you, you didn't have to wait this morning. Lord, you didn't have to wait this morning. I know you didn't have to wait this morning. You didn't have to do it.
forget to rate the show. God bless you.